Welcome to the Living Waters Church podcast.
Welcome to the Living Waters Church digital audio service. My name is Ruben, and over the next 45 minutes or so, we'll hear a number of voices from our pastoral team. We're taking the instructions from our government seriously. So during this digital audio service, we are recording with a small number present and working at a distance from one another. With that said, today you'll hear a sermon shared by Dave Solms from our series in the Book of James, Ancient Wisdom for Right Now. We'll also hear some music from Victoria and a few words from Luke. So, welcome. We're so happy you've tuned in. Let's begin with a reading from James 3, verses 1 to 12, and a prayer. Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth, and a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives, or a grapevine produce figs? No, you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we can continue to learn from your word and experience your presence even through digital technology, through the time that we listen and we gather online or through an audio podcast like this. God, we ask that as we dig into your word and as we sing and we praise you, that you will continue to work in our hearts and our lives. Holy Spirit, that you will move in us and you will guide us and transform us as we continue to learn new things every day in a time like this. We just give this time up to you, Lord, and we ask you to do this work. In your name, Jesus, amen. Thanks for joining us today. Please remember, you can also find us every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on our website and Facebook Live.
Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, he is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, he is my song. You are good, good. Good, oh, you are good.
Thank you, Victoria. What a beautiful song of admission and surrender. We continue, as Reuben has said, in our series in the book of James. We find ourselves today in chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. If you have a device that has a Bible app or a Bible nearby, I encourage you to take it in your hand and follow along with some of these thoughts today. When I was young, our family doctor looked like Eddie Shack. Of course, many of you would not remember him. He was an NHL hockey player way back. What distinguished him in his appearance was his big curly mustache, and he was quite the character on and off the ice. But this is what my doctor looked like. I remember going to this lookalike for regular checkups because of my childhood allergies. I so vividly remember how he would hold the otoscope in one hand and look in my ear and with the other hand hold up his fingers and count and say time after time, after counting his fingers on the other side of my head, he would say, "My goodness, I can see right through your head." And for the longest time, I believed I really had nothing inside my head. Some people still think that. This doctor would proceed to take a tiny little piece of wood, thin wood, and ask me quite regularly to stick my tongue out. I never really knew what he was looking for, but he would get me to go, "Ah." And it seemed to satisfy him visit after visit. He would nod his head and usually make some comment, and I really never understood that exercise as well. I was recently at a doctor, and still today, doctors are assessing our health using a tiny little wooden stick placed upon a tongue that is stuck out to examine our overall health. In some ways, this is what James is doing in our text in James chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. In a simple kind of way, he's inviting us to join him in the examination room and asking us to have the courage to stick out our tongue and to take a good look. Well, actually, he's asking us to take an honest listen. We find in this ancient wisdom that the mastery of the tongue is truly a sign of maturity, and that guided speech is one of the first signs of Christian maturity. So you and I would be wise today to listen closely to what James is saying and perhaps what he's not saying. For guided speech involves the ability to restrain our speech and also an ability to offer gracious speech. Maybe to say it more plainly, to know when to shut up and when to speak up. Let's first talk about restrain, about shutting up. What would we be wise not to be saying these days? James shares in details in this text that Reuben read and perhaps is in your hand now, the dangerous shrapnel that causes injury when someone unwisely uses their words. I think we have maybe a lot in common, for I think we all have misused our words and known the negative fallout. How helpful the Bible is to carefully put names on certain kinds of conversation and suggesting that they're on the not to do list. Ephesians 4 and chapter 5 are full of some of these words and some of these names. Let me remind you of a few today. We are not to gossip. What is gossip? Someone who talks unnecessarily about someone's personal or private affairs. We're not to slander. Paul says to the Ephesian church, someone who makes false and damaging statements about someone else. We're not to lie. Someone who doesn't tell the truth or misrepresents the truth. We are asked not to share unwholesome talk. Perhaps defined this way, conversation that when heard is detrimental to the physical, mental, or moral well-being of another. We're not to be obscene. Maybe this is thought of as dirty jokes that carry sexual, racial, or are arrogant in nature. And Paul also says to the Ephesian church in chapters 4 and 5, avoid foolish talk. This maybe is defined as inappropriate conversation that leaves the hearer unedified or discouraged. There is wisdom in understanding what is best to say and what is not best to say. James says in our text that misplaced words or these types of conversations and exchanges, he says it quite vividly, they act as destructive fire. These type of exchanges put us in touch with a whole world of unrighteousness, leaves a stain, stirs up a restless evil, can have the same effect as deadly poison. Wise would be all of us today to receive these kind of straight-up words. There are certain things that we should not be saying. We're to shut up. We're to be silent. Don't engage. Don't go there. Make decisions well in advance that we will not entertain these kind of discussions. I know I've perhaps mentioned this before, but my father in my earliest years was a lead pastor of a smaller congregation, and then through my teen years, served in full-time chaplaincy work in provincial and federal penitentiaries, and then returned to pastoral work after retirement from chaplaincy. And maybe you've heard me say this before, but it's worth repeating. I look to my father as such a good example when it comes to James chapter 3, for I never once heard him gossip. I never heard him slander anyone, tell a dirty joke, put someone down. He never sowed a doubt in my heart and mind about someone, a coworker, a neighbor, a family member, his wife, my mom, or my sister. I speak about this because it left a deep impression upon me about what is appropriate not to say. And I'm so thankful for that living example. James would be quite proud, I think, of my dad. Scripture teaches that spiritual maturity, spiritual formation in any area of our lives will involve a double dimension, a putting off and a putting on, a putting down and a picking up, a letting go and a taking hold. And this is as well the case with our speech. There are things that we are to put down and simply not to say. We are to be silent. We are to shut up because of the damage it does. There's a second reason to be silent and restrained. And to find this example, we move to Jesus. For there were many times that Jesus was pointed out as not saying anything. It's interesting to reference what was prophesied prior to Jesus walking on this earth for hundreds of years before his coming. It was prophesied that he would come as a counselor, as a teacher, but it was also prophesied that he would come as one that would be noted for his silence. Isaiah 53, verse 7 says, he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth, like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. How interesting that Jesus' speech and his silence was prophesied about. Why would Jesus be such a good example of when to be silent? We think of John chapter 19, verse 10, when Jesus stood before the high priest and the judgment seat of Pontius Pilate. Jesus silently accepted a sentence of guilt. It was not his guilt. It was our guilt. It was mankind's guilt. And Of course, this included Jesus bearing the penalty and punishment on a cross, which included the sins of the lips and the tongue. But of course, not his lips nor his tongue. So Jesus came in with his speech and with his silence to bear the sin of this. Nothing really needed to be said. It was true. People are guilty and can be guilty with their words. Thank you, Jesus, for the offer of pardon and grace that you offer to us today. Here, Jesus' good example to serve with silence reminds us of the good course of action that appropriate silence offers. Offering silence to cover the sin of a misplaced word is a very generous and godly action. So there's a time for appropriate silence. There's also a time to speak up so our voice can be heard. And for James here speaks of the potential of silence and also the potential of our words. And here James says, with our words we are to praise our Lord and Father. This is a command, using our words to honor and worship and thank our God. So we see that there are things that words that we need to be saying to God. Luke shared last week that you and I are designed to love substantially. This begins in a love relationship with God, a relationship that involves sharing, loving, and talking. For God is not content with our silence. He's going to provoke your speech. He's going to go after you. We see that all through Scripture. We think of Job, David, Saul, Peter, Paul. We think of the thief on the cross to the right of Jesus at the end of his life in desperation, called out to God. He was provoked in his speech. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. We are wise not waiting to finally offer desperate last resort type prayers. Rather, Colossians 3:16 says, today, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. God asks this of us. Find your voice, people, in prayer, in praise, and in worship. And this is not about joining the church choir. This is about words and songs that you and I need to say to God. Saying things like, God, I love you. God, I worship you. I trust you. I recognize that my life is a gift from you. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Forgive me of my sins. Thank you for grace and mercy. God, use me. God, lead me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. How unfortunate that someone would ever leave things left unsaid to God. So let me ask you, do you talk to God? What do you say when you talk to God? Some find this quite hard to do. It's certainly not hard for God to hear because he is soliciting us and seeking to provoke our speech, knowing how good it is for us to recognize through our speech the goodness of our God. Again, this is not just simply thinking about God. This is about talking to God. The psalm says, let words of my mouth speak to God. So friends, we need to get our words right. And we need to get our words moving in the right direction. So there are things we need to say to God. And if that resonates with you today, I encourage you to break the silence. Make the call. Speak up. And I think that you'll discover a God who is waiting for you. Secondly, there are obvious things we need to say about God. So there are things we need to say to God, but there's also, finally here, things that we need to say about God. And James uses two illustrations to help us all see the potential of help we can be to others. James says the tongue is like the bit in the mouth of a horse. Here, this tiny appliance controls the enormous power and energy of the horse and is used to give it direction. James says the tongue is like the rudder in a boat. Large ships are directed by a simply by a turn of the rudder. Yes, the tongue is small. A word in itself is small. But when shared in a timely and appropriate way, it can carry a divine authority that encourages, inspires, corrects, rescues, and helps. Friends, we need to get our words right because we have the potential to lead change and stimulate change and provoke change in people's lives. Our words, we see from James chapter 3, matter to God. And God's plan is that we would say things about God to others. Colossians 3:16 says it this way, "Let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives." Our God, our friends, our family, our neighbors need to hear us talking about God. Perhaps messages that include, God loves you. God carries a great concern for you. God cares about those who are suffering and pain, poverty, and the vulnerable. God's ways are the best ways. Consider following him. God is the God of the second, third, fourth, and fifth chance. Why don't you come back into your relationship with God? God is always working a redemptive story in a life, a family, and a neighborhood. What good news! God has an eternal plan for all people to know blessing and joy rather than burden and judgments. So let me ask you, what have you been saying to others about God lately? For our relationship with God was never meant to be private. It's personal. Yes, it's so personal. It's what makes it special. But it was never meant to be private. Yes, Living Waters Church doors are closed. Yet it's so encouraging to know that God's people are perfectly placed all across the Lower Mainland for God's work to go forward. And if there is ever a day we need to hold each other capable of carrying out this responsibility of saying things about God that need to be said, it's today. So let me just say, if you're inappropriately quiet and you're talking to God, or you're inappropriately quiet about talking about God, I'd encourage you to examine why, to consider why, and perhaps make this of highest priority. Jesus, in his teaching, was heard many times describing how our words are the fruit and bear the evidence of what is going on in our hearts and lives. Our inappropriate silence is not because of an introverted, shy personality trait that you have or don't have. Jesus says, James, verse 11 and 12 in chapter 3, says it's a heart issue. And it'd be the same for all of us, actually, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The risk today of sounding like I've got this all worked out perfectly, I would be misleading you. I echo James' words in James chapter 3, verse 2, which says, "Indeed, we all make many mistakes, and I put my hand up first for getting it wrong more than I get it right." But even though there's no one who ever gets it right all the time, it should not stop us or cause us to hesitate to talk about this. It was certainly on Jesus' mind. In various places, you hear Jesus describing it this way. Luke 6, "What you say to God and about God flows from what's in your heart." Matthew 12, "Whatever is in your heart determines what you say to God and about God." Matthew 15, "But the words you speak to God and about God come from the heart." So what is going on in our heart will always find its way out through our silence and through our speech. Christian calendar today recognizes this is the day of Pentecost. What a good consideration today. A day set aside to remind us of the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, enabling and empowering the church to speak and serve. Acts 2 says, "What looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability." Here we see God pours out his Spirit so powerfully and demonstrably. Why? Well, one of the main reasons is so that we would have empowered speech to talk to God more intimately and to talk about God more courageously. God poured out his Spirit upon his followers and still wants to do that today so that we get our words right. See, God pouring out his Spirit and baptizing his church is so that the Holy Spirit would guide our speech, which would involve, of course, the ability to restrain our speech and our ability to offer a gracious speech to God and to talk about God. James has taken us today into the examination room. This text has asked us, in some ways, just like my doctor did so many years ago, "Hey, Dave, stick out your tongue and see what you hear." To which I think all of us would humbly say, "Come, Holy Spirit, we need you." Our service is moving to a close, and Victoria is coming to lead us in the song called Fullness. And I encourage you, as she leads us, to change perhaps your position. I'm not sure where you're sitting, where you are today, but I'd encourage you to somehow find a way to respond with a little bit of urgency, saying, "Come, Holy Spirit, I want to know the fullness of your Spirit within my life today." I want to encourage you, as we close, to make room for God. Literally and specifically, perhaps this week, you can make time so that you can say things to God. Maybe you have to get up a little earlier or stay up a little longer, but whatever is necessary, don't let things go unsaid to God this day or this week. And finally, make room for God in your talk with others. Let's continue to get more and more comfortable talking about God to others. In the texts we write, in the emails we share, in the conversations we have, how necessary and wonderful it is in the midst of our relations to be enriched with the narrative of God and the encouragement of God. For there is so much that people need to hear. God has asked us to make this a priority, an act of our will, but not to do with our own strength. So as Victoria leads us, allow God to empower you, to fill you with his Holy Spirit, enabling and enlivening you so that you get your words right for God's glory and for many people to benefit. Amen.
Let your love run over.
your glory fill this house. Tongues of fire, testifying of the Son, one desire. Spirit come, Spirit come, speak revival. Prophesy like it is done, one desire. Spirit come, Spirit come, tongues of fire. Testifying of the Son, one desire. Let our hearts continue burning, for our King is soon returning. As we hold to this assurance, Spirit come, Spirit come, Spirit come, Spirit come. Pour it out, let your love run over, here and now, let your glory fill this house. Pour it out, let your love run over, here and now, let your glory fill this house.
Spirit, come. That's our prayer today as we listen to the words from James, and especially as today we celebrate Pentecost Sunday. God sent his Spirit himself to be with us, to empower us, to enliven us. So we welcome you, Holy Spirit. Come. We're going to close our time together, but before we do, there's just a couple of pieces of church news we want to share with you. Really exciting pieces, actually. The last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the Ugandan Bean Project. And for those of you that haven't heard the news yet, we wanted to simply make sure that you did. We asked and hoped that our community would be able to raise $5,000 towards a special project in Uganda that was going to plant seeds for a harvest, beans for a harvest for the future. Our community responded by raising not $5,000, but $10,000. And that was a wonderful gift to this project. That's been matched by somebody, which means we're able to send $20,000 to Uganda. That's going to plant 100 acres of seeds that will produce beans that will feed many families in the future years and also provide lots of work for locals. So thank you, Living Waters, for your generosity. I think that an evidence of the fullness of the Spirit in a church is actually generosity. It's a great way to celebrate Pentecost Sunday. You might remember that last year, if you're participating in the life of the church, that we had an opportunity to give towards famine relief in the country of Yemen, which is in the Arabian Peninsula. We raised $21,000 to send, and that was matched by the Canadian government 4-1, which meant that we were sending over $100,000 to famine relief. And just this past week, we heard specific reports about how that money was spent and what that money did. We heard that that money was spent to feed 5,000 people. That's 800 families. And the person that I spoke to made mention that many of those families were women and children. So thank you for your generosity, Living Waters. And that's just a brief report of what we were able to do in 2019, hearing that news now in 2020. One more piece of information we want to share with you is coming up this week, our Grow Summer Sessions. Over the course of the summer, 7 different weeks on Thursday nights, we're gathering together online to be able to learn and to ask questions together. You can find more information on our website about the speakers and the topics and how we're engaging with the topics. But the first one is coming up this Thursday night at 7 p.m. You can find the link on our website, on our Fort Langley page of our website. That's going to be a live webinar, and you're going to hear some teaching. We're also going to have a chance for live Q&A where you can type your questions in, and we'll discuss. We'll spend about an hour and 15 minutes together. This week, we're beginning with a topic called Eat These Words, the Bible for Beginners. Ricky Steffen is going to be teaching. We'll have a dialogue after that teaching where you can ask some Q&A questions. The following week, we're going to be with Kirsten Annenby, where we're going to talk about the prayer for the beginners. And we're looking forward to that and having that same kind of dialogue. So please join us on Thursday nights throughout the summer. You can find more information on our website, Grow Summer Sessions, under our events category on our website. That's the news we have for you. There's lots more to find on our website. Please peruse the website to learn more of what's going on at the church. Allow me to close us now in prayer on this Pentecost Sunday. Thank you, God, for Dave's invitation for us today to make room for you. And we do that now. We open up our hearts. Maybe we even, in this moment, open up our hands. We change our posture again. And we ask that you would fill up the place where we are. Fill up our homes or our car or the path we're walking on. Fill up our hearts. Fill us head to toe with your Spirit. We make room for you, God. And we ask that the outflow of your Spirit into our lives this week would benefit many people, as Dave has encouraged us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.